2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to begin this evening. And let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this place to gather. I thank you for these precious people that you brought here tonight, Lord, with a design and a desire, Lord, to, in your love, to teach us, Lord, your plan and purpose, because you are the one who created us. And Lord, you created us with plan and purpose. And Lord, that is to glorify you. It is to experience life, Lord, real life, abundant life, Lord. And God, we can't know what that is or what it looks like, and we can't experience it unless we know what your plan is and what your purpose is, Lord. And your word is what shows us how to have this abundant life. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts, Lord, that you would take the cares of the day and the week ahead of us and the week behind us, Lord, and that we would just tune in and still our hearts, Lord, and that we might hear what your Spirit would say. And we'll give you the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul here is writing this letter of 2 Timothy to his son in the faith. Timothy is believed to be pastoring the church in Ephesus, and he's in his 30s. Paul, about to die in prison in Rome. Timothy has reached a low point, apparently, in his life and ministry. He's in danger, as we listen to the words of Paul, of being ashamed of the Lord. Ashamed of Paul. He's faltering in using his gift as he ought to. He's feeling the pressure as a young man, as a young pastor, of persecution from the elders and those who have been around the church there at Ephesus longer and was there when Paul was there. He's feeling some animosity and rejection from the church congregation. And he's feeling the heat from the Roman government, you see. The ministry has not been easy, especially for this young man who is naturally bent towards timidity. He has his own sins to deal with, and he's struggling and weak in some areas when it comes to defending the faith, especially when someone who has credentials and, you know, is older and is really experienced in arguing and philosophizing comes along. Here at this time in his life, he is apparently looking for a little sympathy. He's wanting to kind of crawl in a corner and somebody to come alongside and give him a cold drink and pat him on the head and try to kind of help raise his self-worth a little bit. Perhaps licking his wounds, a little bit of poor me action. It is in this place that Paul writes this letter. And Paul, as we have been reading in both letters, really doesn't cut Tim a lot of slack when it comes to sympathy. Because sympathy wasn't going to help this young man. What he needed was strength. You know, a lot of times sympathy, oh, poor, you know, it feels so bad. Listen, I'm not saying that compassion shouldn't be shown. But you know what? When we're dealing with issues, a lot of times what we need is strength. We don't just need somebody to say, oh, that's a bummer. Yeah, it's a bummer. Well, I got 30 people that said it's a bummer. That makes me feel better. Really? Does that help you? Well, it kind of helps. It helps to have somebody there to hug you, and there's value in that, and to kind of, you know, be there for you and that kind of a thing. But don't you need, when you're going through struggles and difficulty and you're, being intimidated and people are rejecting you and getting after you, more than sympathy, don't you want to just, I need to know what to do. I need strength. God, help me to be strong, to make it through this, to push beyond this. You see, that's what Timothy needed. And so that's what Paul is providing. He's providing him the necessary counsel and wisdom to help him face the trials, to deal with the persecution, to have the courage, to not be ashamed. And so he calls for him to be properly committed, to understand the nature of the calling. See, as a pastor, as a leader, as a Christian, we need to be committed. We need to recognize that we are engaged in a battle, that it's not going to be easy, that there's hard work when it comes to ministry. It's not going to be easy. It's work, man, to walk with the Lord, to do His will, to walk in His ways. It's never been an easy thing. For those who have never taught a Bible study, for those who have never pastored a church, who think that what I do here on a regular basis is just a stinking walk in the park every week, I'm not complaining. Listen, I'm not complaining. But I'll tell you what, not easy. It's a war. How easy is it for you to live a godly life throughout the week? Okay, have you noticed? It's a war. If you're having impact, if you are living as God has called you to live and love as God has called you to love and get out there and share the gospel and stand for God's word, it's getting increasingly difficult, isn't it? Paul, writing to young Timothy when he needed strength, he starts out here in verse 1 of chapter 2, and he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." What's Paul do? Well, he reminds him, if you look, the therefore is there for a reason, as we always say. If you look at the previous chapter, in chapter 1, he closes off with a couple of guys who have forsaken him. But there's a guy named Onesiphorus who was there for him and helped him. But you see, he is giving Timothy some insight. I'm in this prison. These two men who were with me now have left me, and they're teaching heresy. And there's one guy, though, who's come to help me. But you know what he's saying? "But Tim, this is no cakewalk, buddy. So listen, here's what I'm saying. Be strong in grace." Hey, he didn't say be strong in memorizing the scriptures, although that's important. He didn't say be strong in keeping it together. He is telling him what we all need to recognize. When we need strength, you recognize that strength, well, it comes from God through the cross. You are able to stand. I am able to stand confidently. I am able to give an answer to those that would ask me. I am able to walk and say, "My sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm not afraid to let you know what's right and what's wrong according to God's word. Not because I always do right, But you know what? God's been gracious to me. We need to be strong in the grace. You'll never be strong in the faith unless you're strong in the grace. Again, for years in my life, and I'm sure some of you are in the same place, try to be a good person. Try to be a good Christian. And if I do this and do that and do this right, and if I do that, you know, if I read my Bible, you know, every day this week, and if I memorize my verses every day this week, and I go to church and I invite my friends and do this and do that, surely then God will love me. Maybe God will do something for me and really, you know, amaze me and take away the difficulty that I'm facing presently, and life will be easy. And I'll be confident that my sin is forgiven because I'm a pretty good person. You know, the problem with that is it's a trap. God doesn't love you because you're a pretty good person. Newsflash. God loves you because He's chosen to love you. What's the reason? I don't know. I look in the mirror and I don't know why God loves me. I have to deal with myself on a regular basis and I don't know why He loves me. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out why He's using me and why He works in and through me and how people, you know, God uses our lives. You see, how is that? Why God, why'd you allow me to do this? You know what I am. I know, He says. I don't love you because of anything in you. I just love you, period. And the proper response would be, thank you. And you know what? I just want to love Him back. I just want to love Him back. That's all. It's a gift, salvation. Grace. That's why He says be strong in the grace. Somebody walks up and gives you a gift. And you know, you know maybe some of you how it felt this Christmas. You didn't get them a gift, but they got you a gift. And when they handed it to you, wait. And you had this secret stash, maybe some of you, and you went upstairs or back to the closet. Oh, you know, I didn't get a chance to wrap this. Why? Pay. Or somebody hands you something and just says, here, take this. This is for you. And you go, here's $5. You know, here, take this, you know, take care of that. We want to pay back, right? Well, if you pay for it, then it's not a what? It's not a gift. You bought it. And we can struggle with that. God says, listen, I've given you a gift. And listen, here's one you cannot possibly come up with enough money if you're the, you know, the Bill Gates, the wealthiest guy in the world. You can't ever pay the thing off. You see, salvation, by grace are you saved through faith. And it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Hey, great thing. Heaven's going to be great. You know why? Because there won't be any braggarts up there telling you how good they are and what they did to get there and wonder how wonderful. You know, I mean, we're all going to just be going, wow. Precious saints, when you realize it's grace, man, God doesn't love you because you're good or have it together or did the right thing. You know what? He just flat loves you. He'll never love you any more than He does right now. He'll never love you any less than He does right now, no matter what you do. Okay? Some people get, are you kidding? I can't believe you said that. Hey, doesn't mean He doesn't chasten those He loves. If you do dumb things, guess what? Whom God loves, the Bible says in Hebrews, He what? Chastens. You want a miserable life? Go ahead and you know, do your own thing and name the name of Christ. Listen, that's no good. Paul says to Timothy here, listen, you need to be strong in the grace that is in whom? In Christ Jesus. And listen, I want you to be strong in that because I want you to show that. You see, the same grace that Christ has shown me, the same grace that Christ has shown you. I want people to see it, sense it. I want you to tell people about it. The proper response to that grace is, as he says here, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You've been given the grace of God. You've been given the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, this precious treasure. The proper response would be to tell others, to tell others, to commit it to men and women, to teach other people. That's why we're all called to study the Word. We study the Word so that we might disciple and teach others what it means to follow Jesus Christ. We are to live out our lives in such a way as that people see what a disciple of Jesus Christ looks like, and we teach them by our actions and by our words, by our attitudes. So when people see you, what are they seeing? You see, I don't want to waste my life. Do you want to waste yours? God has called me with the time that I have here on planet Earth to teach His Word, to commit these things that I have learned to those men and women who will be faithful, not just to take it in, okay? Can I tell you that? You here aren't here tonight just to take in the teaching of God's Word. If that's all you're going to do with it, then you know what? You're wasting your life. And you're taking up a space that somebody else could take up. You see, you need to be those who are, I want to learn. And then as you learn and are entrusted with the Word of God yourself, as He gives to you wisdom, as you understand it and apply it to your lives, you then have a responsibility and a calling to go and to disciple and to teach others. We all should be relating these things as parents to our children, as grandparents to our grandchildren, to our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, to share His Word, to disciple, to live the life that Christ has called us to in front of others, because we are only one generation away from it being over, man. No, if I don't do it and then you don't do it, you see, we've got to hand this down generation to generation. Thank God that people have. Aren't you glad? Because we're here tonight because there were people that just didn't listen and soak in the Word, but they found others. And they began to share God's Word with them. Began to show people what it means to walk with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is telling Timothy to do here. The things that you do, to commit these to faithful men who will be able also to teach others. Faithful men and women, the older teaching the younger from generation to generation. Now, lest you think this is going to be easy and a walk in the park again, Paul doesn't lay out much sympathy here. He says, be strong in the grace. Commit these things to teach others who will, to men who will teach others, to women who will teach others. And then you therefore must endure. It's not going to be easy. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now he uses the example. It starts out with a steward. Now he's talking about a soldier. And he says, hey, listen, soldier, being a soldier, I ask anybody that's gone through basic training, you think it's a walk in the park? If you've ever been in the service and gone through basic training, anybody that says, oh, man, you got it easy, they're going to take care of you, give you 3 squares a day, medical insurance. Yeah, probably about the first week to 2 weeks of basic training, you're wanting out of there. I mean, they're on it, man. They're on you. They're there to break you in many ways. And you talk about hardship, they put you through some hardship. You cry out for your mommy and she ain't there. I'm making a man out of you. You know, and that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Timothy, listen, you got to knock this stuff off. You got to quit this tentativeness, man. You got to stand up. You got to hang in there. And man, it's not going to be easy. It's not somebody, not a place for somebody that's lazy to be involved in ministry. It takes dedication because it is hard. He says, no one engaged in warfare. He describes the hardness. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in the athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, he talks about the soldier here. It's not easy. And listen, he's got to be committed fully. He's committed, and they teach you this in basic training. That commanding officer is the guy you're committed to, okay? You don't second guess him. And when he says, do this, you go, hang on, man. I got a call from my wife right now. You know, we got to stop, you know, stop the whole thing. You know, I got to talk to my wife. I mean, she's going through a hard time right now. She's pregnant and a little emotional. And so, you know, can we stop the exercise? Guess what? No, you can't. You see, the worldly entanglements. I got to go to work. I got the papers to deliver this morning. I'll be right back to basic training after I get done with my paper route. No, you can't be entangled with the world. And you got to be committed full on. You can't be a little bit in, a little bit out. You got to be full on in. That's what God wants from us as Christians. Go for it, man. Because our commanding officer is Jesus Christ, and we can't have divided interests. We've got to pay attention to Him. And then he goes on here, he says, and he's like an athlete. He's like an athlete. An athlete competes according to the rules. If he doesn't, guess what? He loses his crown, doesn't he? He loses his crown. He loses his reward. I want you to note something about the picture here. Just like the athlete along with the soldier. You know what? The soldier pleases his commanding officer, and he also has a concern for his other soldiers. They become a team. You see, they watch over one another, all with the goal of pleasing the commanding officer. The athlete, you see the picture of a team. You see the quarterback in a few Sundays here working with the fullback and the center and the blockers and see, they're not playing just for themselves. They're a team. They work together for the protection and for one thing, not just their gig, but let's get this ball together down the field, man. We sometimes in ministry can get a little bit, this is the ministry I'm involved in, so we kind of lose the big picture and we go, well, my ministry, mine's the most important, mine, and you know what, the church doesn't understand, this is my ministry and I need this and they need, and they don't understand that and they don't give enough this and you see, but you got to get the big picture. You see, all of you have differing gifts, differing ministries, differing places where you serve. And the big picture, here we are. We're all here to what? To glorify God. To see people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And to see them discipled and grow. And as we serve in the various capacities, that provides those opportunities. And so we need to see the big picture. As Casey spoke about, you know, opportunities to serve in various ministries. Hey, important. Because, listen, if you bring somebody to church and you've been praying for them, you've been inviting them, and then, you know what, the day comes where they come and they bring their kids and everything, and then you go over to Sunday school class, well, there's nobody, the class is closed. How's that make you feel about this friend that you brought? How's it look to the friend that you brought? You see, I guess these people really, it's all about them. They don't care about, you know, they're just like anybody else. First come, first serve, get there first. You know, I mean, we need to be aware of the fact that every one of you plays an important part to further the kingdom of God. You need the big picture, trusting the commanding officer. And then as an athlete, it says unless you compete according to the rules, you're not crowned. Hey, it happens, doesn't it? Think tragically, Jim Thorpe, years ago in the Olympics, lost his medals. I think more recently of Lance Armstrong, lost his medals. Why? Because he broke the rules, man. If you don't play by the rules, and you don't get to make them up. You see, the athlete competes according to the rules or he loses his crown. You see, God, I'm going to worship you and serve you in my own way. And I know it's not according to what your word says. And I know this is something that, well, you may not really like, but this is what I feel like I should do. Well, that's messed up. God has laid out very clearly how it is that he wants to be worshiped. He's laid out very clearly how it is that a church is to function, you see. And we don't get to change that according to what we feel. We've got to compete according to the rules if we're going to win the crown. We've got to do things God's way. We've got to submit to God's word, you see, if we're going to win. And he uses the picture of a hard-working farmer. Because the hard-working farmer must first be the first to partake of the crops. You see, a farmer, and listen, he works hard. Not an easy job. He's got to make hay, if you would, while the sun shines. You know, I mean, you got to get that harvest in. It's not like, well, you know what? The harvest is ready, but today I'm just kind of tired. I'm going to sleep in. And you only got so many hours of daylight. You only got so long to get that harvest in. You know, especially in this culture that Paul was writing this in. And so, man, you didn't have like an option of whether you're going to work hard. You got busy, man. When harvest time came, you got out there and you went for it. And guess what? As a result, you got to partake of the crops. Oh, that's only right, right? I mean, why could the guy work all that hard and put in all that time and energy and plant and all if he did it for nothing? You see, nobody does it for nothing. That's why the Lord even says, hey, God is paying attention to what you're doing when you show love, when you share life with others, and he will reward you accordingly. He knows, even if others don't know. What you do in secret and as you give without your right hand knowing what your left hand is doing, you see, God who sees in secret, he will reward you openly. He will reward those who serve him faithfully. He will not forget. Men may, but God never forgets. And then he goes on here, he says, consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Timothy, think about what I'm saying. Mull over this in your mind. These pictures that I've given you. The athlete, it's not easy. the farmer works hard. The soldiers in battle. That's what we've been called to. And I pray that God, He's saying, will give you understanding. That you'll understand this so you won't back down, so that you won't allow yourself to be intimidated. And then He pulls out the big gun when He says, and remember, verse 8, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. You see, He says, Tim, it's going to be hard. But I'll tell you what, don't forget Jesus. Don't forget Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Don't forget the motivation is to bring honor and glory to Him. Don't forget what He did for you. And when it comes to suffering, don't forget how He suffered. You may be suffering, but no matter what you're suffering today, tonight, you haven't suffered the way Jesus suffered. That's what He's saying. Jesus suffered. He died. And guess what? It says He rose again. Remember Jesus who suffered, but that suffering led to what? Glory. Because you see, He died, but He rose. What He's telling Timothy there and you and me is that suffering a par for the course. We are going to experience it as Christians, but when you go through it, remember, God's doing it and allowing it for your good and His glory. Seeming defeat as Jesus hung there on that cross and He died and He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He said, it is finished. And it was finished. The work for our sins, the shedding of blood for our sins, the forgiveness, the bringing and redemption of us in right relationship with God was finished there on that cross. It was finished there. And the third day He rose again to show the victory that we have as believers. You see, that's proof. And that's why He's telling him that He was raised from the dead. Christ, the Messiah, the seed of David, the promised one. He died, but He rose again. The suffering. What seems to be defeat when He said it is finished leads to glory ultimately. And just as He was treated as an evildoer by the soldiers, they will treat us the same way. The world is going to treat you and I the same way. That's why sometimes we're all disappointed when we say that we went to church or we've given our life to Jesus Christ and now we're born again. We think our friends are going to be all excited and so we can't wait to tell them. So we go back. Guess what, man? I went to church the other night and man, guess what? God touched my heart and I'm saved. And you're thinking they're going to go, wow, cool. And they go, ooh, cooties. Get out of here. No. I thought you were going to tell me you went to smoke dope or something or got drunk or shot up or something. But man, they joined a cult. But a Christian? Oh, of all things. But you see, that's the way they treated Jesus. So why do we deserve to be treated any differently? The answer, well, we don't. And Paul is telling Timothy here, this is the way it is, guy. And I'm suffering trouble, just like Jesus suffered trouble. And they're calling me an evildoer. That's what they're doing to us, aren't they? Increasingly. Christians. You guys are wicked, evil people. Right-winging, bigoted, Bible-thumping. You know, and they're ticked off about it. They call evil, and then they call good evil, don't they? That's what they're saying. And Paul says here, even to the point of change. I was put in prison for this. I'm chained. But guess what? The word of God isn't. Here, God is using me. Hey, my body is in chains physically, but Timmy, guess what? I am out there, man, preaching and teaching, and you're reading this letter. God's word is still accomplishing its work. Isn't that good to know? No matter what they do to us, no matter how they treat us, they can't stop the word of God from having its course, from having its impact. And the word of God's powerful. It's the word of God that changed my life. It's the word of God that changes your life. It's the word of God that gives peace, that gives hope. It's the word of God that gives direction and purpose for life. And so Paul is saying here, so here's what I do. I endure. Therefore, verse 10, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Hey, I'm out there going for it. And yeah, I'm chained, but I'm enduring it. Why? Why do I continue this? You might ask, why do I continue this? Why don't I just give up? Why don't I just compromise? Why don't I say what they want me to say and do what they want me to do? Because I cannot. There are those who God is speaking to, God has chosen, who He's calling, and I want to be part of what He's doing to reach men and women with the message of hope in Christ. And so I won't stop. Because I want to see people saved. You know why Paul saw a lot of people saved? Because listen to his heart here. I endure all things. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. For the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain salvation. I want them to be saved. I don't want them to continue to live in torment and in addiction and sin and be slaves to anxiety and depression, you see. I want them to find the life that I've found in Jesus Christ. And yes, life isn't easy, but you know what? I have hope. I'm on my way to heaven. My sins are forgiven. Of that I'm certain. And so I rejoice. That in the face of everything that's going on presently in my life and in this world, that Jesus is coming back for me someday. And I have life that's eternal. And I'm going to be in glory for all eternity. I'm just passing through here on a campout, you see, this life. On the way to my permanent home in glory. Don't forget that, saint. That's the motivation. Why do you guys go to church? Why do you study the Bible? Why do you, you know, stand up for Jesus? Why do you, you know, why are you willing to suffer and go through this? And why don't you back down and just shut up about it? Because I can't. I can't. Man, when the Lord saved me, I haven't shut up since. You're going, I know. How can you? And he says, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. There are several faithful sayings here in this text in 1 Timothy and in Titus. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Is that like a faith? Here's a faithful saying. I want you to remember this. These are kind of sayings that it appears from the way these things are quoted and the verbiage and the language rather in the Greek that what these were is things that were passed around the church, these faithful sayings. Something that they generally, that the church said and agreed on. Sort of like a creed or whatever. And so a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How many of us would admit that? Hey, here's a faithful saying, man. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the biggest one of them all. Well, many times, that's just the opposite of what we do, huh? Well, Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I'm not that. I mean, I'm a sinner, but I'm not as big a sinner as them. What a different attitude, huh? I'm a big sinner, Lord. This is a faithful saying, 1 Timothy 4, verse 9, and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. These things command and teach. A faithful saying. Christ is the Savior of all men. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Do you notice all those faithful sayings have to do with salvation in one way or another and reaching out our witness to the world? You get the idea that the church was into that. You see, we need not fear our enemies. We need not be afraid. We are identified with Christ into death. And that's why he goes on here. He says, if we died with him, we shall also live with him in verse 11. If we endure, we all shall also reign with him. So here's the deal. If we live our lives for Christ, if we die to ourselves and to doing our own thing and living our lives just to please ourselves and for ourselves, the Bible says here, if we die with him, we will also live with him. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, listen, if you want to find your life, lose it for my sake. And guess what? You're going to find life. Paul said, I die daily. To making me the priority of my life. How hard is that? Hard, isn't it? Not easy. But Paul is saying it's worth it. Because if we die to our own comfort and desires and our own, just doing our own will and plan and say, Lord, do with me as you wish, as you would. Use me to glorify yourself. Make me your servant, Lord. Then guess what? We live with him. We live with him eternally. If we endure the difficulty, then we will also reign with him in glory. And those aren't hard to understand. Hey, you do this and God does that. You do this and God does that. You respond to his love in those ways. And guess what? There's blessings and benefits. But it says, if you deny him, he will also deny you. Now that deny means not a momentary deny. The word could be more accurately translated, reject. If you reject Jesus Christ, then he will reject you. That's also taught in Matthew when Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll do what? Confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me and reject me before men, again, that doesn't mean a momentary rejection. That means a habitual rejection. We know that Peter, as we looked at Sunday, denied Christ, denied that he knew him, but he didn't reject his lordship over him, and he went out and wept bitterly and repented. But if you reject Jesus Christ, it says he will also reject you. And if you're faithless, just because you don't keep your word men don't keep their word, that doesn't mean that God is not going to keep his word, because what he said here previously, you need to pay attention to this, because if you don't put your faith in Christ, then he's going to remain faithful. He will not deny or cannot deny himself. In other words, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can be as flaky as you want to be, but God remains faithful, and there is only one way. He cannot change that up for a person to be forgiven, and that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have your sin forgiven, to have the hope of heaven. And then he goes on and he says, remind them of these things. Remind them. It's not like they haven't heard him before. You know what? Many of you, you've heard tonight, you're hearing something that not like you've not heard this before. I'm not teaching you, many of you, something that you go, wow, that's completely new. There's an old saying, if it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, it's not true. These things you have heard, but we need to be reminded. You see, the commission of the pastor, as Paul is commissioning Timothy here, he says, remind them, remind those of your congregation there in the church of these things, and warning them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, arguing and bickering with one another over petty things, wasting your energy. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. You see, that's the key, folks. My goal in my preaching, and I need to be reminded of this, is not to please and wow and woo you. My goal in teaching and preaching God's Word needs to be, God, what do you think of that message? Not what you guys think. Not that I don't appreciate, God, you bless me, it was a good, Lord blessed it, and that's encouraging. But here's the real deal. The real deal we need to remember, it's what does God think of what I taught? Did I teach His Word? Do you walk out of the church going, wow, Pastor Dennis, awesome sauce, man, he's incredible, that is amazing. Or do you walk out of church going, man, God, I need to deal with some stuff, man. Your Word, you've spoke to me tonight. I just read it right there. I need to deal with some stuff. Man, God's Word is awesome. You see, that's the key, folks. God's Word is awesome. We serve an awesome God. And it's not seeking the approval of men that we are about. It's not a popularity contest. It's all about being approved by God. Now, how's that happen? Well, a worker, he's lazy and sits around and does nothing all day. Studying, digging into God's Word, a worker. Who does not be ashamed and does not need to be ashamed. Why? Because he is rightly dividing the word of truth. He is cutting a straight line, man. He plays it straight. He tells the truth. He lays it out there straight. He tells it in love. But he doesn't, pick and choose and be careful who he offends and he just tells the truth, speaking the truth in love, in humility, desiring to see fruit of the Spirit, you see. As God speaks to your heart and my heart, rightly dividing the word of truth, laying out the doctrine there. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Lay out the word. Don't get into, arguing with one another about things that we can't really know about and that kind of a thing. And it talks about idle babblings going around and just beginning to undermine the faith of those who, you know, maybe aren't strong in the faith. Has God really said you can't go to this kind of a movie? This, you know, I know it's rated, you know, NR-17, but has God said I can't really go see that kind of a movie? I mean, you know, here's the problem. You know, can I really not, you know, are you saying I can't drink a beer and be a Christian? Are you saying I can't smoke a joint and be a Christian? Well, I mean, what is that all about? What are you doing? It's not how much can I get away with and still be a Christian. It's, you know what? Let me ask you, what can you do without that will help you along the way to your walk with the Lord when it comes to purity? When it comes to living a life that's godly? When it comes to not stumbling your brother? When it comes to being an example to in this world that we're living in presently? You see, what don't I need, Lord? What is it that, and what am I doing and involved in that's a wing that's drawing me closer to you? And then what is it that's weighing me down and drawing me away? I need to cut away that which is drawing me away. That's what Paul is saying here. Don't be sitting around talking about all this stuff that will increase to more ungodliness. Now, compromise, and can I do this and still be a Christian? That message spreads like cancer. Teaching false doctrine. Hey, you know, health and wealth, the prosperity doctrine. It's out there. People teaching it. You know, you give your money to Jesus and you know, he'll make you healthy and wealthy because you're a king's kid. You deserve the best. So you ask God for a portion, you believe he'll give it to you, and he'll get it. That's babbling. That's hogwash. Where'd they come up with that in the Bible? You see, Paul talks about those false teachers out there, and they spread. Their teaching and their doctrine spreads like a cancer, and people stray away from the truth as the Word of God teaches. They go down their own path. They make up their own rules. Don't play according to the rules. When the day comes where the crowns are handed out, they'll be disqualified. God help us to be those who are like the soldiers, the athlete, the stewards, giving to people the Word of God. Knowing that this battle that we are engaged in, it's not going to be easy. And precious saints, can I tell you, it's probably not going to get easier from here on out. But that's okay, because didn't God tell us that would be the case? So hang in there. Stand up. Don't give up. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. As always, for the work and the ministry of your Holy Spirit. God, as you've spoken to us now, Lord, I pray that you would solidify in us, Lord, these words. As your Spirit, Lord, has touched our hearts, may it continue to transform. May he continue to transform our lives and change us from glory to glory, giving us the power that we need through his presence, providing the strength to stand. Lord, I pray for your Spirit to give us all a fresh dose of boldness, Lord, that we would be bold, that we would, Lord, be those who stand strong, and that we would be those who, Lord, are drawn to study your word, to be able to give answers to those who have questions. Lord, may we be those who are looking to disciple others, as that will assist us in that endeavor. As we, you knew that, Lord, preaching the gospel and then making disciples, as we seek to disciple others, the assumption is they'll ask us questions and we'll need to get answers. And so we need to dig into your word for ourselves. And Lord, we are blessed in the process. So God, may that continue. May you continue to raise up disciples and help us to look for those, Lord, that are, Lord, in need, those that are younger, Lord, those that are struggling, Lord, and Father, to reach out to them. And, Lord, to share your word and show your love and to help strengthen them in their faith. And, Lord, we'll give you the thanks for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.